Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 381, top of the day to you, Steph.
Hot cross bun to you too,
oh,
Leah.
Nice. Very good. I've got a quiz about spies for you because I've been watching a spy-related series. Have you as well?
Well, sort of, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm...
Sort of.
I'm intrigued.
But I'll say yes.
Spy.
Spy.
Who just saw Spider-Man?
You did.
Was that your favourite show?
No. Been watching some stuff. I've caught up on Good Cop, Bad Cop.
Oh, I've got so many to catch up on.
Look, the only thing I'll say about it is that, you know how the episodes were kind of self-contained?
Yes.
Well, the later episodes are kind of connecting now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there'll still be a self-contained story, but there's
clever.
There's a overarching?
Arching.
Yes. Arching mystery.
So it's a now giving you real purpose to keep tuning in every week.
Yeah.
Because
and I'm
otherwise
just loving the,
just drop in
the characters. They're coming into their own.
Hilarious.
Now. Yeah. And I've watched a couple of I think I'll only talk about a couple of things.
Okay.
We don't want to get out of control.
I've got two things.
Perfect.
Pretty short, but two.
Well, so is the news, except there's three. So let's get into what I like to call the news.
You can never have enough hats, gloves, shoes, and we are the watchers, sweetie darling.
Do you remember a while, not that long ago, we were talking about how The Running Man, that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger from the 80s, was getting remade into a series.
I do remember.
Glenn Powell was going to play The Running Man. And this is like the most publicity that I've ever heard.
Stop, tell me more.
Okay. I'm going to read directly from The Hollywood Reporter.
Okay.
As a good friend of the Terminator's son, Patrick Schwarzenegger, Hal enlisted the help of the White Lotus season 3 actor to make sure his father was on board with him starring in the 2025 remake based on the Stephen King's 1982 novel. Like, why, honestly, why would Arnold Schwarzenegger care about somebody playing the same character that he played once in a movie in 1987?
And I really hope that Patrick Schwarzenegger got paid a little bit extra for that number of mentions
That's
in
right.
one sentence.
Ridiculous. Arnold gave us his blessing. That's what Pal said. Isn't that good? Patrick Schwarzenegger, back again, is a great friend of mine. And I asked Patrick if I could talk to Arnold. So great friend, but never met the dad.
Never met the dad. But we're besties.
We're absolutely besties. Just full
because
blessing.
Because a man
full
who, blessing. You know, is a fully grown man needs his dad's permission and blessing
to have
to take a job.
Yes. No. A fully grown man needs to have his friend's dad permission.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Even better.
Basically, publicity. You remember Arnold Schwarzenegger? He's really famous. This guy's going to play the same character. That's all.
And
that
don't
is.
Forget to mention The White Lotus.
Yeah, that's right. Because that show's big. Now, Juno Temple, she was in Ted Lasso, but I remember her from the latest, was it last year? Fargo season? Set like in Nebraska or something. Was it Nebraska? It felt like up
with
there.
With John Hamm.
John Hamm, yeah. So she's going to be in this show for Apple, which I think sounds really weird. And I am on board
Are
and
you?
I can see her in this, right?
Are you going to watch it?
So it's based on a book called The Husbands.
Okay.
Basically, she's going to play this lady who goes home one night and she's her husband, you know, says hi at the door. This is
the
thing,
like,
right?
Well, that's my first red flag because they're never waiting at the front door.
Well, she's never seen this man before in her whole entire life.
Even better.
And she's like, what's going on? I don't even remember being married or anything. And then the guy goes like to change a light bulb up in the attic and then he just disappears. She's like, was I imagining that? What's going on? But then her husband does reappear.
Her real husband. No, her...
No, her, her no,
yep.
her husband you? Reappears, but it's a completely different bloke.
Okay. So at any stage, did she call the police that there were strange men in her house?
No, but apparently she believes that maybe the attic is just producing husbands for her left, right, and centre.
It's a portal.
Doesn't it sound hilarious?
Yeah, is it supposed to be funny?
Yeah, it's a mystery. They call it a dramedy, you know, one of those dramedies. Mm-hmm. I think it sounds really funny and I really want to watch it. She was great in Fargo.
Yeah.
Elijah Wood is an actor that you may know from such things as, I don't know, Lord of the Rings. Three movies he was in. Do you remember it was Talk of the Town? Every Boxing Day for those 3 years, there would be a new Lord of the Rings movie come out at the movies, and everybody who was anybody would go and see it.
Be there.
It'd be number one, unless, of course, you're watching the cricket or the Sydney to Hobart. But even then, you're probably
and then you go to some stage between Christmas and New Year's.
Mm-hmm, exactly. It was massive. It was massive, and it still continues to be massive. People still watch it. Remember, there was all these fans who got the director's cut DVDs because the longer the better kind of thing. Apparently, the actors didn't make much money from it.
Oh, that disappoints me.
And Elijah Wood actually said, because we weren't making one movie and then renegotiating a contract for the next, it was sort of like
we're making
all of them all in one go. So I guess the...
There was no bargaining power.
New Line Cinema took the gamble of making three of these movies all in one go, and they were like, well, we can't pay the cast much or probably the crew. I'm not sure. So they didn't get massive salaries. In fact, there was last year Cate Blanchett was talking about it and she said no one got paid anything to do that movie. I basically got free sandwiches and I got to keep my elf ears.
What?
Yeah, so they didn't make much, but it's good on your resume, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good.
But the powers that be made a lot.
Oh, they made a hell of a lot. Surely Peter Jackson made a lot.
Yeah.
You would hope so, at least. Should we get into these watching suggestions?
Please.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What have you been watching?
Oh, okay. So I have been watching season two of The Diplomat. Remember with Kerry Russell and Rufus Sewell? I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I'm going to eat my hot cross
bun. Yeah, go on. If you haven't seen season one, there will be a little bit of spoilers, so listen up.
Would you watch it? Like, sorry, would you start with season two? I don't think
No. Yeah. So if you haven't watched season one.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Don't listen. Mm-hmm. For those of us who have watched season one but not season two, I'll just remind you what happened.
This is the recap we've all been asking for.
So season one concludes with a very unexpected sudden car bomb. I mean, what car bomb isn't sudden, but never mind.
I saw it coming a mile off.
With some big characters in the danger zone. And that's how it ended. Season two picks up straight away. We're finding out who is injured, who lives, who dies, who is critically.
Are there deaths?
There are.
Mm.
We also start the conspiracy of who is responsible for this car bombing of American diplomats. Just previous to the car bomb, a UK warship was also bombed and they were pointing fingers at the Russians. Now, this show grips you in the way that you're like, oh, my God, what happened? Like, who can you trust? What to believe? All of that. You know, the theories that get thrown out as to who is responsible for the warship, who is responsible for the car bomb, at some stages are absolutely jaw-dropping that you go, that couldn't possibly be the person that you're – they couldn't possibly be responsible for it. However, I'm not going to give anything away.
Phew.
What I will say, though, I did have a little bit of a giggle watching this because I watched it almost back-to-back, like an episode an evening, and I think I got more out of it doing that.
By just doing one a night?
One a night and not doing one a week or, you know, whenever, because there are so many names and they interchange from calling people their surnames to suddenly calling them their first names. And you go, I need a picture to know who is who. Which person are we blaming right now? But I did have a bit of a giggle because the whole script is the characters going from one ornate room to another ornate room, closing the doors and speaking privately
having
to someone.
An ornate conversation.
And then there'll be a knock on the door and someone else comes in and they go, we'll talk later. Well, of course you will, because that's all you guys do. And then they'll leave that room and they'll go into another office and they'll close the door and have, you know, silent words, because everything is private, confidential.
I remember reading the first Twilight book. It was the only one I read. And it was every chapter was a conversation set in a different location, but it was still a conversation. It was just a conversation.
The same conversation. Well, this is, I mean, obviously it does, the storyline does progress a bit, but I just had to laugh and like, nothing else has happened in this show than someone more important arriving and closing the door.
Close the door, please.
It was, yeah, very funny. I also thought it was quite amusing watching it back-to-back episodes, because I realised that this diplomat that we're following, who is the US ambassador to the UK, maybe she's not actually that good at her job, because
Kerry Russell.
Yeah. She's got a very different flair, and I know that's what they're going for, that she's not prim and
proper. She's different. Mm.
She's, you know, doesn't brush her hair. She just kind of wears whatever she finds in her bedroom and throws on. So she's not polished, but she makes these calls and then you go, oh, you were responsible. Like, you started that chain reaction of
disaster.
That
was actually on you.
That was all you.
Does she realise that or not?
I don't think she
does. As an
audience
member, are you supposed to realise that? Or is that just something that you've picked up on?
I don't know. Perhaps. Mm. But there was one bit where she was given some very confidential information about something that would be a worldwide whoa moment in history. She wasn't supposed to tell anybody. She probably called about four people. Every person that she walked into another room with, yes, she was like, I've got something really important.
Look, don't
to tell
you. Anyone
don't
I told
anyone.
You.
It's happening tomorrow.
Okay.
And then the next person, don't tell
hey,
anybody.
Listen, if I find out that you've told the person that I've already told, I'm going to be livid.
I'm going to be livid. Anyway, Alison Janney is also in season two, and she was sprouted as, you know, being like Alison Janney's in the second.
I remember.
She appears about five episodes in.
Oh, wow.
And she's, I mean, Alison Janney is amazing. She was really good.
She comes in.
Oh, my
just
goodness.
Spotlight.
Yep, spotlight. Mm. Has a few, whoa, acting moments that you go, oh, she owned that.
Yeah, nice.
She read that and was like, I'm taking it to a next level.
So she read through the words and was like, this is what next.
This is what I'm going to do.
By the way, how good was that hot cross bun? That was
really
nice.
I enjoyed it.
That was one I've bought Woolies ones. I haven't bought many this year. I've bought Woolies ones, which I've bought before and they're fine. They were Baker's Delight ones, so they're more expensive.
Yeah.
But I needed to break a note, you know what I mean? So I was like, I'll get that. That's quite nice.
I think I'm a bit of a hot cross one connoisseur.
The traditional one, so they're traditional.
Yeah, why would you go anything else? Go anything. I think Woolies do the best ones, putting it out there.
Do you mean flavour-wise or texture-wise or both?
Texture.
Yep. That was a different texture. That
different
was
texture. Flavour, lovely. Mm. Woolies do better texture.
Okay. Yep, fair enough. I've been watching a spy, an actual proper spy series called The Night Agent.
Oh, I've seen this
on Netflix. Yeah. So there are two seasons on there at the moment. The second season came out a month or two ago, which is what prompted me to watch it.
Yeah.
And it starts off with, basically what it is there's a room in the basement of the White House where an FBI person sits and just waits for a phone to ring. This phone number is only given to night agents who are spies on a particular they're after something.
They should ask Kerry Russell. She would have told everybody else about this phone number before he got the call.
And then the poor bloke wouldn't have been so bored.
Mm.
Anyway, a lady who's business has gone under and she's kind of in between. Like she's a very clever tech person, kind of in between figuring out, okay, now I'm bankrupt, what do I do kind of thing. And she's living with her or staying with her aunt and uncle. And then one night her aunt and uncle are murdered in the house by people like, it looks like hitmen. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember because I'm like towards the end of the second season. I'm trying to remember exactly what happens in that episode, the first episode, because I don't want to say too much about the rest of it. Somehow she knows to call this number. Maybe she finds it or something. And she's
Kerry Russell told her.
That Kerry Russell, yeah. That's right. She went into that room and it was a beautiful room. And she has to give a code name.
Okay.
For them to believe that she needs help. Anyway, that and it all kicks off.
Yeah, cool.
It all kicks off. You know, who are the bad guys? Are there bad guys within the White House? Are there bad guys within the government? Are there bad guys outside of the government? What exactly is going on? Mm. What are these spies for?
How funny that in the last 2 weeks we've watched a lot of stuff about connected to the White House. Like we watched The Residence.
Yeah, that's right. I'm the still night getting agent, through that. Really
the diplomat.
Good.
It's not set in the US, but constantly in communication to the White House.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just what's being offered to us.
Yeah.
And then maybe we will go back somewhere else. The algorithm will show us other things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I have been watching another murder mystery one, but this is very much more a lighthearted one. Think You Good Cop, Bad Cop, Death in Paradise.
Oh, okay. There's that sounds other, fun.
That kind of fun. Mm. It's definitely a dramedy. So it's a US total lie. It's not. It's an Australian.
Oh, my God. How can you get those two countries mixed up?
It's an Australian production. It's from a number of years ago now, but I don't think it's aged whatsoever. It's called Mr. and Mrs. Murder. So it's from 2013 and it stars Sean McAuliffe and Kat Stewart, who we would know from every Australian production around that time. They play a married couple who are crime scene cleaners. And they've got this really nice way of talking to each other and just having a chat and kind of challenging each other's ideas and thoughts. But while they're cleaning up, they can't help themselves. But they kind of want to know what's happened in the room.
Yes.
And they do know a detective, and so he often appears and will give them tidbits of information, and they wait for the detective to go, and then they'll be like, no, that's wrong. That hasn't happened.
He got that wrong, as you can see by the blood splatter.
I mean, are you Sean McAuliffe? Because that's exactly
pretty much
what he does.
That sounds good.
You know, this person walked in and they couldn't have possibly behaved like that. And, you know, how long does it take people to run down a hallway and, you know.
Yeah, right.
So from what I've seen so far, each episode is a standalone because it's a new crime, it's a new scene, but those characters are following the whole way through. But it's a really, if you want something that is that murder mystery but it's lighthearted,
kind of like
energy,
The Resident.
Yeah. Mm,
similar vibes.
Get onto it. I found it on Stan.
Stan, okay.
Yeah. Stan's good for Aussie stuff.
I was going to say the ABC, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Mm.
I watched Greedy People. It's a movie from last year. I think I saw it on Foxtel, so to be on Foxtel and binge. It's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it, which is basically why I decided to watch it. So it's set in a small US town. He's a policeman, and a new policeman comes into the town, and they're sort of partners.
Yeah.
But they're really, really different.
Yeah.
And he's showing the new guy around and like, this is how we kind of do things. And it's a comedy. And then the new guy goes to this, I think it's a noise complaint.
Mm.
And then something accidental and dramatic happens.
Yeah.
And it ends, like where it started and what I thought it was going to be to how it ended up, it was a 720 and I was like, what is going on? If you are ready for a crazy kind of dark comedy ride,
yeah,
this is a fun
Who
movie.
Who else is in it?
Oh, I didn't really recognize anybody else. It was mainly just him. Lily James is in it.
Okay.
But Himesh Patel, he's the main guy. Mm. I thought I had seen him in something before, and I think I have.
Yeah.
But you know when you look at their IMDb pages and you're like, I do
yeah,
not.
Yeah, nothing's ringing a bell. That happens to me all the time.
It's really weird, isn't it? But anyway, it was good fun. It was a good crazy movie, and I would recommend it if you're interested in just watching a fun, weird film.
Yeah, cool.
Do you want to get into this quiz?
Yeah,
it's about spies.
I really do.
Okay, I don't know why this is the spy voice. I mean, honestly, if you're going to be a spy, wouldn't you have the most forgettable voice of all time. Like you would try to be
Maxwell Smart.
Yeah, don't do that voice.
Yes, I get where you're going.
Do you know what I love what you did? You were like, Henry's too loud playing out there. So you gently closed the door and then about 10 seconds later, you just opened it again and walked off. He's like, gosh, this door's closed.
Why would they
this
do
this is really
that?
Weird.
At least he's not yelling. He's having a sing song.
Yeah, he's just having fun. Spy time. What number was Maxwell Smart's offsiders spy
86.
Name? 86. No, he 94. Was
86. Oh, I've forgotten now. You 55.
99.
I'm so dumb.
55. I'm so dumb.
That was Herbie Lovebug, wasn't it? Was he 55?
51, I think. Oh, I'm not sure. I think it's 51. Finish the title of this movie. Austin Powers, the spy who...
Shagged me.
Yes. How many Jason Bourne movies are there? And how many have I seen? Probably two.
Yeah, probably two for me. I'm going to say there are... I really want to say five, but
yes.
I think...
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's five.
Mm-hmm. It just kept coming
I think
up.
There are more books.
Yeah, okay.
I remember you and Dad reading a lot of the Jason Bourne movies.
Yeah.
Books, I mean, sorry.
I've read the movies.
You read the movies.
I read the back
the
of the DVD.
And you're like, that's fine. I'm fine.
Do you know, I know I've read them, but I've got no recollection.
Yeah. Who played Jack Ryan in the 1992 movie Patriot Games?
Tom Cruise?
Oh, you're close.
Am I?
Older.
Oh.
Older bloke. Still around. Has been very famous characters in movies.
Harrison Ford.
Yes. Yeah, Patriot Games. I watched it recently.
Have you?
Just to see. I was like, God, this is a Jack Ryan movie. I've heard of it.
But I had
back
no
in
clue.
1992, there's no way we would have ever watched it.
They
like,
were John just, Grisham novels.
No,
Tom Clancy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The John Grisham books I remember being quite good. I think I've only read a couple of them, but they were really good.
I got a spy book in a hotel. Oh, my gosh, I can't remember where. Maybe somewhere in Italy. And you know how they often have that library where you can just pick ones up? It was literally the only book in English at this hotel. I scoured the entire bookcase for something to read, and I found it. And it was a spy novel, and I thought, oh, whatever, I'll give it a go. It was written by a person who used to work for MI5, MI6, and I don't know that they ever had another book again. It was really good.
Really good.
It was really good. And I remember
good holiday read.
Like sitting on aeroplanes thinking, I'm so glad that this was the only one that was in English because I was forced to get it. It was really fun.
I remember going to a cafe in Japan. I'm pretty sure it was like a chain sort of cafe, and they had books in bookshelves near where you sat, and I looked at them. I was like, oh, a lot of these are in English or German. And I went to just like grab one.
Yeah.
They were all like sticky taped together.
Oh, don't take these.
So funny. English
this is
and
our
German
decor.
Book. Yeah, it's exactly what it was. Who played Claire Matheson in Homeland?
Claire Danes.
Yes.
Was her name Claire Matheson? Claire.
I don't even remember. Sorry, Carrie. Carrie.
Carrie, yeah. Yeah.
Carrie. They're both C's. In my mind, I just did pay, I paid no attention to her character's name.
I
was
going to call
Danes.
Her Andy. Oh. Andy. Carrie Matheson. Yeah, okay. Yep, it was Claire.
What year did Mr. and Mrs. Smith come out?
2001?
No,
three,
it's
11,
five. It's later than I thought.
Yeah, that is later than I thought.
Side note, but not really. Like there is a tenuous link. We were looking at Easter show bags online the other day. There are Friends show bags.
There are Friends show bags.
That's interesting.
Have they now hit retro so that all the youngins are now watching them?
Or, you know, the kids get the Spider-Man or the unicorn one and then the adult goes, treat myself.
Oh, I'll get a Friends one.
I don't need
I've
it.
I've seen all the
I've
episodes.
I've seen all of them. I just said Spider-Man then.
What show bag are you going to get at the Easter show? Spider-Man one, yeah.
He's going to get the Spider-Man.
He's pretty certain he's getting Spider-Man boots. It was a picture of socks.
Oh, okay. Right. Spider-Man doesn't wear boots. No. Anyway, okay, just check.
He was like, I'm getting my, I have to get my boots.
I just have to.
I was like, you're going to be bitterly disappointed
when
they're a pair of socks.
I mean, in all honesty, that's what show bags are.
True.
It's a little bit of disappointment.
Yeah. By the time you're home, you don't want it anymore.
for a while, and I say a while, but maybe twice, we got, I don't know if it was the Women's Weekly one. It was a it was the Women's Weekly one. I think it was a different magazine. And it was really good for people in their early to mid-20s.
I reckon it might have been the.
You reckon it was?
There was one for a number of years, I think, called B. Maybe there was a B magazine. I don't know. It had
B. Yeah.
Just had like samples of food.
Samples.
It was just like going to Woolies and just taking a collection of stuff.
But that's what show bags were originally. They were sample bags. Look, that is very niche. It's basically for only if you're in Sydney. But if you are planning on going to Sydney, make sure you go during Easter time and you can go to the Sydney East Royal Easter Show.
Sydney Royal Easter Show.
Over 2 weeks, I think. Used to be. And
you can watch some wood chopping because that's not niche. Chopping. I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the rest of it, you're kind of like, oh, that I've seen that. Yeah. Like you could see that in other country fairs or county fairs. But the wood chopping is. Yeah.
Chloe keeps saying to me, she's like, so what are we going to see at the Easter show? And I'm like, animals, food, some horses and some wood chopping. And she's like, and lolly bags. And I was like, show bags, like get the terminology right. And then I think she keeps thinking there's going to be something possibly a little bit more interesting.
Nope.
She has no clue what we're going to. When you put it like that, it sounds really boring.
It's really boring and random.
She goes, wood chopping. I was like, yeah, these people, they get really big logs and they said
Dunlop volleys, which stresses me out.
Stresses me out too. And they go, and they race to see who can who can chop the log the fastest.
Yes.
And she goes, I'll have a go at that. And I'm like, oh, no, we don't have a go. We watch them. And she went, oh, and walked off.
But she's pretty into the idea of seeing cats, the cat pavilion. And you checked and luckily there are cats on that day because they're not always on.
Yeah.
Priorities.
I tried to say that seeing really big cows was something so interesting. And again, she was like,
not interested.
Not quite seeing the appeal of this.
I love everything about that. From hot cross buns to the Easter show, it's been a sort of an Easter celebration before Easter. So, Stephanie, I want to say on that note, thank you very much.
Oh, it's okay. Kerry Russell already told me to say goodbye.
Okay.